Blog Talk Radio. All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queen. Let's go.
Salutations, everyone. Tonight is Thursday, and you know we're doing an exclusive interview tonight. We have the one and only Camilla Mullen, one of the reigning Miss Black America, Metro DC. She's going to be calling in live with us. This is a woman that has gone through adversity and has taken that determination and the adversity to push her to the highest limits, you know, being into the dance, into the theater, you know, achieving a master's degree, you know, losing both of her parents at a young age and managing to achieve in life, you know, and, you know, the devil is a liar, you know, and she definitely got a lot of things, you know, through, you know, the tragedy, and she has grown to be a wonderful and lovely woman. And you know, she also teaches at a charter school and owns her own company, and she has a lot of things going on for her. And she will be calling in tonight. Another powerful woman that is doing their things. And this is a early special of Street Queens, the Movement. We will be having another Street Queens, the Movement later on at 8 o'clock with the Women's Forum. And we're going to have, we're going to be talking about autism, living with autism. We're going to have a guest speaker, Christina Mendez. She's also an Essie Stewart model and speaker for autism. CBS will be doing a special on her. And also, we'll also be having Venom, who's a poet, and she's actually a parent that has a child with autism. So we're going to be discussing that and highlighting women in business at 8. But tonight we're going to have this wonderful young lady with us tonight, and we're going to be talking to her. You know, her story may can touch you and whatever you've been through. You know, a lot of people can relate to her story. So we're going to go to the phone lines and see if we have this wonderful young lady on the phone with us tonight. Good evening, 202. You're live on Lush Radio Online, Street Queens, the Movement. Peace.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Wonderful, wonderful. Lush, this is Camilla. How are you?
How are you doing? I'm doing fine. I read your story, and I was very touched, you know, because I also lost my father at a young age, and I kind of related to what you were going through. And, you know, you have a lot of blessings, man, and I'm really, you know, proud of you as being another Black woman, you know, being able to achieve over adversity, you know, because it's hard out here, man, so definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, I appreciate your generosity and sharing your loss, and I think that, you know, I love what you said. The devil is a liar. I mean, he's just a big, fat, dirty liar, and I love to really just kind of, you know, stomp on that fact. And every time that, you know, we, you know, unite, every time we share our story, every time that we help someone else feel like they can share their story, I think we're taking our power back. And I mean, I'm a firm believer that everything that the devil took, we can get back, because there's no pain on earth that the heaven can't heal. So, I mean, I'm all about it. So I just appreciate, first and foremost, you allowing me to, you know, to be on your show. You know, you always have a host of wonderful guests on, people who are really impacting the community. So I'm just really excited and thankful to be here with you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I definitely want to thank my girl out there, Natasha Brown, for, you know, providing us with this interview, Think Brown, Inc. And, you know, you're a powerful woman. you're definitely a powerful woman, you know, in the metropolitan area. But talk to us, you know, in the beginning, because you shared about your loss, you know, with you know, first losing your father, and then, you know, losing your mother to you know, an assailant, you know, at a young age, and, you know, overcoming that, you know, in order for you to grow into this wonderful woman that you are, you know, just share with us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to make it as brief as I can. But when I was nine, I lost my father. Now, that was in 1990. Now, he was estranged. My mother was raising me as a single mother. So while I, you know, I suffered the loss of having a parent, it wasn't like it was a parent that was in my household. So while I grieved, mm-hmm. I grieved out of what was school book grieving. You know, I went to the funeral and thought, oh, okay, well, that's sad, and thought that, wow, you know I know I can never have a relationship with him, because even as a nine-year-old, I thought that just because we don't have one now, you never know what could
mm-hmm.
happen. So, mm-hmm. so I had that loss. And then later in that calendar, that same calendar year, I turned 10. My mother was murdered in Upper Northwest Washington, D.C., while her, myself, and my younger three-year-old sister were on the way home. So we were there. What was supposed to be a robbery right in front of our apartment complex turned into her being slain. She was stabbed to death that night on November 27th in 1990. And as you can imagine, my world was completely changed. It was like a restart button on my life. Everything that I had known was completely out the window, and by the state standards, I was an orphan. Now, again, what was taken from you is given back to you in multitude, I tell you, because I was blessed to never have to go into, you know, foster care or orphanages and things like that, because I did have family who pulled together. But and as much as I love them, as much as I try to thank them and tell them how much, you know, they were there for me, it's nothing like having your mama.
Yeah, it's nothing like having your mama, girl, for real.
Oh, indeed,
definitely.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and you know, and most people, you know, just don't, you know, value the fact of, you know, having that loved one there, you know, and being without them can definitely take a toll on people. And for you, a lot of people take the turn for the worse, but you took that, and that ignited a fire for you to excel in every step of the way. Talk to us, you know. Because you're an activist, and you're also, you know, own your own business. You have a master's degree, and you besides being pretty, you a triple threat. They can't mess with you, you know.
I gotta call in to talk to you every day so I get my daily edification. I appreciate you. Couple of things with what you said. I mean, you know, I think that first and foremost, you know, people do really need to stop. Even if you have to write it down in your daily planner, I mean, if it's that hard for you, I mean, start with that. It needs to become a routine, and we need to have it in our daily to-do list to thank and be thankful, have an attitude of gratitude. I mean, we really need to be thankful for what we do have instead of always talking about what we don't have. And, you know, we have angels around us all the time who are being a blessing to us, regardless in the midst of our financial woes, our, you know, our love lives, our family, you know, tribulations. We've got some great stuff going around us. And so, you know, our Friday event just this past December 10th was the Angels Do Exist. It's our first annual candlelight vigil that I did in honor of my mother's murder. And I went right back to the site where she was murdered. And what, you know, the devil meant for evil, I brought back something good. And what I really wanted to do, it wasn't even about me, because I had found that closure. But I invited the, you know, over 2,000 people that donated to my fund, to an education fund on behalf of me and my sister back in 1990. There was over 2,000 people. I invited all my friends, my family, my classmates,
wow,
all the way from sixth grade to college, my business partners. You know, people who I know had planted a seed in my life that, you know, either they were there for me to grieve or they were just there to give me what was considered a normal life. And that night was all about telling people thank you. You know, like, we don't do that enough, and really giving people an opportunity to pay it forward in their own life. And, you know, that's exactly, you know, what this whole thing is about. I'm definitely an advocate for quite a few causes, but my passion truly is, you know, getting
Talk to us about that trust, because I was interested in that. You know, you were talking about activism for other children who had, you know, they had lost their parents to violent murders, and to help them when they don't have anybody and stuff. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. So what I know with every ounce of my body is that, you know, as grave as the situation as that was, you know, to have my mother murdered in front of me, it's not a unique situation. You know, unfortunately, we live in the times in a society where this is happening all the time. So I know with every ounce of my body, there's another Camellia out there who has lost a parent or both parents to violence. And so what I thought was the best way that I could thank the people that did that for me was to do it again for someone else. So back in 1990, my mother was an office manager, and she worked for a small, you know, family business. And when my mother was murdered, they set up a trust fund. And that allowed the venue for, you know, the entire DMV to pour in their donations and assist me in continuous private education, because that's what my mother worked so hard for, you know, us to go to. And I kept thinking to myself, well, how can I thank these people? How can I, you know, to me they were angels, you know, so it was just this recurring thing. How can I thank them? How can you thank somebody who gives you your life back? I mean, what do you give them? You know, what gift can you give back? And so I thought, what better way but to really honor my mother's name and also create a legacy of the human spirit and thanksgiving. And so I extended that same trust fund, I extended the sentiment of that trust fund, let me say, and created a trust fund underneath the umbrella of the CC Foundation. And CC was the way my mother was affectionately known. That was her nickname. And so under the CC Foundation, there's a Fielding Scholarship Fund. And that's named after the company that put this beautiful effort in place for me 20 years ago. And that fund will benefit area children who have lost the parents of violence to continue their education and other extracurricular activities, because, let's, you know, the million-dollar question people want to know is, how did you do it? And here's the deal.
Definitely.
As a 10-year-old, you know, you need a routine. You need a routine. Well, and in conjunction with several other things that I didn't get as a child that I got I sought out as an adult in terms of counseling and closure and grieving, as a child, you know, I was blessed to have a routine. And so because of those angels, I was able to go to the best schools, and I was in extracurricular activities, and I stayed focused, and it was a seed planted in my heart early on about education and, you know, prompting me to want to go to college, go and get my master's, et cetera, et cetera. But we got to give these kids, when something's taken from them so precious as a mom or a dad, we got to give them what they need. And that's that push, and that's that routine, that's that structure. And for a little kid, that's school.
Definitely.
And
the other thing I was saying was the fact that, you know, the fact that you were blessed to have family around. What, you know, you have some children that all they have is just their mother, and they have no relatives at all, you know, and they're just, you know, they're orphans, but, you know, they have no family to turn to. So what you're doing, I commend you on doing that, because these children need that. And, you know, and they need some type of hope, because some children just don't know how to deal. They're grieving, and I actually lost my father, actually, which was took a toll in 1990. In that same month, actually, he got shot and killed in as a taxi driver, and he had his master's, and somebody tried to rob him in Southeast, and they, you know, they killed him, and it was crazy, but. You know, it only motivated me to be able to do what I got to do, because, you know, they can't die in vain. You have to be successful for them, because they would want you to be successful if they were still living now, you know. So I know she's shining down on you, and she's proud of you right now, for real.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, and I hope she is. You know, people ask me all the time, I no longer teach. I'm a former teacher. I did teach in the charter schools, but I have my own business now. You know, a home-based business, it does well. And you have to be an entrepreneur, work for yourself. You have to truly, you know, be discipline and be, as they call it, a go-getter. And what we talk about in business, you know, you have to have a why for doing your business. And for most of my business partners, it's their children and their families, and I don't have that as of yet. But for me, it's just my mother's name. Like, you know, my mother didn't get to live to be my age, and I'm only 30. My mother was murdered. She was 27 years old, and I refused to allow our family name to go in vain and to be only affiliated with, you know, a tragedy. It will be affiliated with triumph and generational wealth and really impact in our community, and that's what I live for. I mean, I truly, truly get up every day, you know, and hit the streets for that purpose. And I'm telling you, you know, what you're doing, you know, is awesome, because that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, have to pick up where they left off. You know, we have to pick up where they left off and make it count.
Yeah, and definitely pass the torch. And with your home base, and because we also do a show on Wednesday called Let's Talk About Business. Being a black woman in entrepreneurship, starting your own business, what do you feel are some of the key points in having a successful business in this day and age?
Oh wow, yeah, I have to come back for that show next week. Yeah, absolutely, that's a whole other segment. You know, you have to be really laser focused on your goals when you're talking about business. And one thing that I found, especially in my industry, you know, women, we're emotional, and that doesn't fit very well in business. And here's the deal: what makes us the greatest at what we're doing can also be the double-edged sword to keep us further and further from what we want, because we do care and nurture, and we have all those qualities which makes us a person that people want to do business with. But the other side of that is that we take it way too personal, way too quick. And where men typically don't have that issue, I find, it's just my personal experience, that, you know, women get way too emotional, and it gets in line of our business goals. So, you know, definitely stay laser focused, you know, keep it business. You know, you don't have to be shrewd about it, but keep it business, don't take it personal. And most importantly, I think, for women, and I don't have it as much because I don't have children and things of that nature, but we have a hard time with balance, you know, because we have so many roles to play. And I think that the key is really and truly finding that balance. And the very reason why you're doing your business, like I'm doing it for my kids, can't be the same reason it keeps you from your business, i.e. you missed a meeting because you couldn't find a babysitter. See, that's the double edged sword. You got to figure that thing out, you know. But oh, we have to come back another time for that.
Oh Lord, I love you though, because you have so much spirit, and you're so poised and everything. And I'm actually admiring you as a woman and your accomplishments, man. Because you know, not everybody can do what you did, you know. You know, and you did it, and I'm just saying, and for y'all listening, we're talking to Camilla, and she is the reigning Miss Black America Queen for the Metro DC area, the DMV. Besides being beautiful, besides you know, being a very articulate, you know, wonderful young lady. She's a business owner, and, you know, she overcame triumph, and she's doing a lot of things, community activity, you know, to help her community and give back, you know, and she's doing a lot of things for, you know, the children out there, you know, that are going through it. I wanted to ask a question. Somebody asked me something in the chat room. They asked me, actually, you know, talk to us about, you know, how did this come about you getting into the Miss Black America DC Metro 2010? How did that come about?
Absolutely. It's a very funny story. But actually, one of my business partners was in the recruitment, crew, that you would call it, the recruitment staff, when the Miss Black America pageant came to DC in 2009. And when she asked me, she said, okay, you know, people call me Kay, we should come out and, you know, it will be good. So me, Lush, I'm thinking I had the same, the preconceived myths, the notions in my head, the stereotypes, like, oh, well, surely she's not asking me. to be in the pageant, because I'm not no pageant girl. Anybody who knows me, I mean, I can do it nicely. Let's not get it twisted, but, you know, I'm a, you know, I didn't see myself as a pageant girl because I had this stereotype of my in my head of what it looked like. And so I said, I thought she wanted me just to come and help out. So she said, I don't know. I want you to run. And I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And she played the age card on me because most of my close friends know that as I was turning 30, I was tripping. I was having a little tripping cycle about turning 30.
Girl, I'm tripping already because I'm turning 30 next year, and I'm tripping already.
Oh, girl, it's so much better. Let me tell you something. We don't have to talk offline about that, but 30 is great, okay? 30
is great.
And I'm only about 6 months in, and I'm really liking this thing. So
she changed the age card on me, Lash, because she knew that I was about to turn 30.
She said, well, girl, you know, you need to do this. It would be like your last hurrah of your 20s, and you would be awesome. So I said, okay, fine. So I get involved, I do it, and then I started. So I was doing it. I was a secret agent, basically, doing the pageant. I didn't tell anybody. And as I got further and further along, I decided that, you know, if I'm going to do this, I really need to take some introspection and really figure out why am I doing this. Because if I'm going to do something, anybody who knows me, if I do something, I'm doing it all the way. I don't like to lose. So I realized that, you know, some of the things that I wanted to do, you know, two things. There was a business goal and there was a philanthropic goal, because I've always, you know, been in the heart of service, you know, because so much was given to me. I'm always trying to find ways to kind of give and serve and help out. That's why I love teaching. And so I said, you know what, this would be a way to give back to young girls. This would be a way to plant some seeds back into our young girls, because some of our young girls don't know how to be girls anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's so much taken from them. Maybe I can be that person that somebody was to me. Because, see, I didn't have a mother, so I had professors and librarians and, you know, other people in the community. So I thought, well, just maybe I can be, you know, that person to somebody else. And I said, well, what better way to impact than to get a larger microphone? And so I looked at the Miss Black America pageant as, you know, and winning that as a vehicle to get me, you know, to a place of a larger platform faster. And it was my first pageant. I've never even been to a pageant before. The very first one I went to, I competed and I won in a landslide, because there's three components to a pageantry, and I actually won all three. So
wow.
It was an awesome experience.
I know, you were shocked. You was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was. Look, yes, you know, when you go through training, because like I told you, when I'm going to do something, I go all in. I go and get me a challenge. I'm studying. I'm you know, I'm exercising. I'm dieting. I don't play. So I go and do that, and I'm studying all these YouTube videos of the pageants, because I, you know, never really watched Miss USA and Miss America. And I see these girls, and they start crying when they win. And I was like, oh, that's so fake. And don't you know, when I was out there, they called my name those three times. I was like, oh, my God, I know how they feel.
You did the wave, you did the famous wave, you did it.
I did the wave, and all of that, but it was just, it really was.
You know what though, we're gonna have to Street Queens the Movement, because we have a women's empowerment group, and we give back. I'm going back to New York. We're actually giving out toys to, you know, children that are less fortunate and stuff. And we do that every year. And we also give out money to children that are in the high schools that are going through it to, you know, like for their prom and stuff like that, right? You know, some women, some young kids, they don't have the money to buy a prom dress or different things like that. So we do that every year. But there's this one thing that I want to do, and since you are Miss DMV, you know, in the metropolitan, Marlton area, Miss America, Black America, I would love to have you. I want to do this thing called the, you know, Princess for the Day. It's called, you know, and Little Princess, where I would like to get, like, little crowns and, like, some of the women that are in the shelters and stuff like that, to be able to dress them up and let them feel pretty, you know, even through whatever they're going through. And I would definitely love to have you as a guest speaker.
That is such a wonderful, powerful idea. I love it. I mean, I absolutely love that. We can take them on the town, you know, do some fun dining. I'm all about it. I love it. Let's get it in the book. I love that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to sit down with you and Natasha and figure out how we're gonna work this out and definitely do that, because that's I'm getting more for next year or whatever, maybe like February or mid-January or something, or February, and let's do that, because I definitely want to do that, you know, because there's a lot of these ladies and even some of these young girls, even if we can do it at some of the schools, just to, you know, these women, these little kids need, you know, inspiration, motivation sometimes, you know, and even, you know, even to do it for some of the children that are special needs also that are out there, you know.
Absolutely.
Some of these children.
Speaking of February, that's awesome, because, you know, that sounds like a great partnership that the CC Foundation can do, because over time, what we're right now, our focus is the scholarship fund, but what we're going to put on our efforts, like the one that you talked about, Princess for a Day, just really reaching out and, you know, the people who don't have the parents and they don't have that structure, that family, you know, due to their circumstances, we're really just going to pour into their life. And so I think that's awesome. And in February, I want your listeners and your viewers, and especially you, to save the date. February 9th is going to be the official launch of CC Foundation. And it's going to be a blast. We're going to have a good time. We're really just going to celebrate. And, you know, I really want to make sure all our DMV and even our folks in the surrounding cities can come in town. So you're going to hear more about that. And people should actually log on to the web page to kind of follow up on that. It's ccfoundation.org, and that's spelled C-E-C-E-Y, foundation.org. And, you know, follow me on Twitter. That's always the best way to keep posted. That's Kmelia, Miss DMV, and, of course, thinkbrowninc.com will keep you with all the queens tours and outings.
I'm gonna definitely follow you on Twitter and everything, and we definitely gonna support that. So if we log on to the website, that's how, if people want to donate to the trust to help these children that are going through this situation, we can log on to the website and we can donate through there, or we just hit you on Twitter to give you the information if we want to donate.
Absolutely, they can go right to the website, and there's a donate button, link to right to PayPal. There's also an email link on the website if they want to email me directly, talk about how they can help with other efforts. But again, it's ccfoundation.org, C-E-C-E-Y, foundation.org. They can donate to the fund. It'll also be information about our official launch, which will be on February 9th of the new year. That's my mommy's birthday, so I'm going to give her the best present ever. So it's going to be awesome.
That's what's up. Make sure that you definitely, guys, if you're listening right now, make sure that you support this young lady, support the causes and everything. And I'm gonna definitely link up with you to definitely discuss that the Queen for a Day situation. I'm gonna sit down with you and Natasha about that going into next year. But I'm really proud of you, and I wish you nothing but success, and God is going to continue to bless you, because you're still blessing people out there. So keep doing what you're doing, and don't stop, girl. Don't stop.
You as well, Lush. I'm powered by people like you, you know, kind of really being the foundation, you know, for everybody who's doing these efforts. I mean, we wouldn't be able to have the voice unless we had, you know, good programming like what you're doing. So, I mean, you're a blessing. If anybody hasn't told you today, you're a blessing to our community. So you just keep up the good work. And wherever I can support you, you let me know. I'll come back anytime.
That's what's up. I mean, if you want a busy woman, you know, help the community like you were, I would have liked you to stay on at 8, but I know you busy, because we're talking about living with autism, and we're going to have a spokesperson for autism with the celebrities, and it's a celebrity campaign, and we're also going to have a woman, she's a poet, that has a child with autism, and he does PSAs, and that's going to be at 8 o'clock tonight. And stuff.
Oh, wow, that's going to be awesome. I'll definitely tune back in and listen in. But any other time you guys have another topic and you want to get me, you know, you want to talk some more about it, just let me know. I'd love to come on for your business segment. It's a lot of women
that's
out here doing some business. You definitely got to get that in the books.
I would love to get you on a Wednesday when I make sure I work that out with Natasha and we get that straight. And I love you to death, and you keep being the queen that you are, you know, and don't stop, and, you know, God will continue blessing you, and I pray that everything you want in life comes to pass for you.
Amen and amen again, sister. Thank you very much. I received that.
I love you, man. God bless you for real. Definitely. All right. All right. That's what it is. We just had a